This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Pharisees and Herodians were sent after Jesus to catch him in his speech. The two groups approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, we know you are truthful and unconcerned about the opinions of others. It is evident you aren't swayed by another's rank, but teach God's way of life sincerely. So, is it lawful to pay tax to the emperor or not? Are we to pay or not to pay?" Now, knowing their hypocrisy, Jesus said to them, "Why are you trying to trick me? Let me see a coin." When they handed Jesus one, he said to them, "Whose image and inscription do you see here?" "Caesar's," they answered. Then Jesus said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." This reply took them completely by surprise. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. My siblings, today I invite you into the struggle, a struggle that as a preacher weighs on my heart on a regular basis. This is the struggle of the pulpit and politics. Yes, that is right, politics. You see, every week I am called to preach the good news according to Scripture, which means that I don't just get to choose whatever good news I want. I have to pray, listen, observe, discern, and of course, study Scripture. Each week I am given texts from the Bible. I do not choose them. They are given to me. And I study these texts and learn from them, so I can hear God's message to us in this particular moment. And these scripture lessons are a constant call into the struggle of politics and the pulpit, because the truth is, the Bible has a whole lot to say about politics. It talks about the economic rights of widows and orphans, laws about marriage and divorce, inheritance laws, forgiveness of financial debt, setting prisoners free, environmental justice, the rights of immigrants and refugees, even taxes are talked about in Scripture. You see, everything that we consider political, the Bible considers a matter of faith. All of these political decisions affect the lives and the well-being of God's creation. So God is quite concerned with politics. That's why when the people demand a king from God, God creates an accompanying position, a prophet. And this special prophet's entire job was to be the voice of faith, the voice of God to the political ruler, the king. This was Nathan's job for King David. Even when the people demanded a king, God would not let them forfeit the voice of faith. God is always concerned with the well-being of God's people. So God will always be concerned with politics, the realm that defines our rights and so much of our well-being. This struggle of faith and politics, the pulpit and politics, is not a new one. It's one that God has been calling us into, well, forever. It's one that the people of the Bible wrestled with. In our text from Titus that we read today, we meet a community who is clearly wrestling with this struggle. What should they do? How should they live under the Roman Empire, under this political regime? This letter urges the people to be loyal subjects of Rome. Obey the laws and be ready to do whatever is good. Titus urges them, do not rock the boat. Because if you do, if you are quarrelsome, things will not go well. The people in Titus live in this political regime of Rome. And in this political realm, if you raise your voice, you are considered a rebel, and you will be put to death. In the Roman Empire, there is no such thing as civil disobedience, peaceful protests, no writing to your elected officials. There's no voting. The people in Titus don't have the rights that we have in a democracy. They live under the tyranny of Caesar. And so the author urges obedience for their own safety. But at the very same time, the author of Titus tells the people to be quite uncompromising in teaching this, the doctrine of grace. This spirit God lavished on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we might be justified through grace and become heirs to the hope of eternal life. This is doctrine you can rely on. I want you to be quite uncompromising in teaching this. At the same time that the author of Titus urges obedience, they teach that there is a doctrine far more important, the doctrine of grace, and the people are to be uncompromising in teaching it. Titus does not forfeit the voice of faith, even under tyranny. Far from it. But what does Jesus have to say about this struggle of faith and politics, the pulpit and politics? In our gospel lesson, the Pharisees and Herodians have come up with quite a clever question. Is it lawful to pay tax to the emperor or not? Are we to pay or not to pay? This is a clever question. If Jesus answers no, then he is in open rebellion against Rome and can be and would be arrested immediately. And for the Pharisees, this is great news because it solves their whole Jesus problem. If Jesus answers yes, then it undermines all of his teachings. Jesus has been breaking and reshaping religious laws left and right. But he wants to follow Roman law? It's okay to break Jewish law, but not Roman? What kind of a rabbi would teach that? If Jesus answers yes, it undermines everything he has done and taught so far. The Pharisees have come up with a very clever question. But this question depends on the dichotomy of faith and politics. The separation, the complete separation of politics and the pulpit. Jesus holds no such dichotomy. He does not answer with an either or, a yes or a no. Instead, he calls for a coin. Whose image is on this coin? He asks. Caesar's, they respond. And Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God What is God's? Now, if we don't have a sound biblical and theological understanding, we might think that's the end of the debate. Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. That's the end of the struggle. Politics are politics and can stay far, far, far over there. Caesar's is Caesar's. But we do have a sound biblical and theological understanding here at Grace. We know that we cannot cherry pick texts out of the Bible, removing them from their context as part of the great history of God and God's people. All scripture lessons must be read within the greater biblical story. And that greater biblical story, story that Jesus knows very well, it teaches us that humankind is made in the image of God. So, to whom does the image of Caesar, a human being, belong? To God, in whose image we are all created. Give to God what is God's, Jesus says. My siblings, all belongs to God. There is no dichotomy between faith and politics, for it all belongs to our Creator, God Almighty. So, we as people of faith are called into this struggle of discerning what our faith has to say about politics. We cannot forfeit the political realm with this false dichotomy of the pulpit and politics, for the political realm defines our rights and well-being. And God is very concerned about that. We cannot forfeit our faith, for we are called to be uncompromising in teaching God's grace. Instead of forfeiting faith, we're called to wrestle with what our faith has to say about politics. And this is not easy. I know it's not. And there are times that, for some of you, I go way off the mark, and sometimes I'm on the mark. It's a struggle. It is a wrestling with faith and scripture and what it all has to say with the reality of the world that we live in. It's not easy. But God did not name us Israel, people who wrestle with God, for no reason. God calls us to wrestle. God calls us to wrestle with faith, to wrestle with the political reality that we live in, to wrestle with all things so that we might hear the voice of God call us to grace, so that we might discern the path of well-being that God wants for all creation. My siblings, no matter what your politics are, we cannot forfeit our faith. So I invite you into the struggle. The struggle of wrestling with faith and politics. Because if we don't wrestle with it, then we will give to Caesar what in fact belongs to God. Amen.